Thanks for being here, Rita. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for asking me. Hello, everybody. My name is Rita Q. I'm a recovering compulsive overreader. Just want to say the set-aside prayer just before I start. God, set aside everything I know about you, myself, others, and everything I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things, and help me see the truth. So today I've been asked to speak about the ninth step promises. Now, just so you know, there's promises throughout the big book. But I know this meeting focuses on the ninth step promises on page 83. So I want to tell you about, just qualify briefly. I have been a compulsive overeater all my life. I couldn't get out of the food. My life was dominated by thoughts of food, how much food I can get, and it says in the very beginning of the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. I love the effect produced by food. And as it goes on to say, even though it's elusive and it's bad for you, it's injurious, you cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. I knew I was killing myself with food. I knew that it was horrendous, but I just couldn't stop. I could not stop. And I looked at other people and I thought, why can't I just eat like a normal person? And actually, that's a lie in itself, because I didn't want to eat like a normal person. I wanted to eat what I wanted, when I wanted, and how much I wanted, without anybody annoying me about it, So I wanted to, I'm just going to share something briefly. I asked about this just before we started. This is a page from the big book, but it's actually got, so to talk about the promises, I need to talk about the bedevilments. So the bedevilments are on page 52 in the big book. And for those of you who are not familiar with them, this is what it looks like. I'll send you out this. It's not a problem. My number's in the chat, so just I'll send this sheet out to you. But I'm going to start with the first one. We're having trouble with personal relationships. So the promise for this is we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. That wasn't the case when I was in the food. Alcohol was my master. Bill talks about that, and I was gripped by food. I went to birthday parties. I couldn't concentrate, on the person's party, because all I wanted was the food. As I got older, I went out for dinner with friends. I couldn't concentrate on the person because, people would be telling me really intimate stuff, and I'd be thinking, how much food can I get away with tonight? Could I order a starter, a main, and an extra side? Would they even know? You know what I mean? I was always chasing the effect, and I felt worthless, and I hated myself, to be honest. And on the outside, everything looked great. I had a good job. I had a very loving husband, but I was dying inside, and I was helping myself do that with food. So the first bedevilment says we're having trouble with personal relationships. I went from naught to angry within seconds over the simplest of things. Big stuff I could deal with. The small, irritable things, like my husband not washing the counter down properly after dinner, drove me nuts. And it says very clearly in the big book, resentment is the number one factor that kills more alcoholics. And I am telling you now, I was filled with resentment over the simplest of things. I have a disease of more. I want more, 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 whether it be on Amazon, whether it be in the sales, whether it be whatever it is, I want more of it. My freezer used to be stuffed. My fridge would always be stuffed. It was always like my wardrobe is stuffed, because it's like more, more, more. I'm looking for the effect. When I'm done with the food, the effect goes into other things, Then it says again, the bedevilment, we couldn't control our emotional natures, but the promise is we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. See, when I'm in the bedevilment of my emotional nature, when I am resenting, it says, it tells you on page 66, the art of resentment is grave and fatal. I can't understand that I'm actually going to have serenity. It's so hard to comprehend. But I have it today. I promise you, all these promises have come true for me. Again, the bedevilment, we were a prey to misery and depression. The promises, our whole attitude and our outlook upon life will change. Last week, I got very sick on Sunday. I've had stage 4 cancer and I'm very prone to sepsis. And they thought I was getting sepsis. I was rushed in to hospital by ambulance. And I was sat there and the paramedic said to me, "You're very, very calm. Very calm." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm okay. It'll be okay." Because I thought, God's got this. And I thought, wow, this is serenity. What was the point in panicking? There was nothing I could have done. I had to just go through it, As they always say, what's that old expression? Feelings aren't facts, and they don't require action, So the next bedevilment, we couldn't make a living. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's a promise. I could make a living. That's, fear of economic people and economic insecurity. Economic insecurity for me is probably the one promise that's a sticking point for me. And there's no evidence. It's false evidence appearing real in this one. It is fear based. So I just wanted to share that one. That's the only one that I always sticks for me. We had a feeling of uselessness. That's the bedevilment. Again, page 52. The opposite of that is that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. It will. I hated myself. I wanted to die. Honestly, I really did. I ate and ate and I could not fill that God-shaped hole inside me. No matter how much food I ate, it just wouldn't fill the hole. And then I ate and I felt rubbish about eating. Therefore, I ate again and I felt even more rubbish about myself. So there was just a constant cycle of self-hatred. And then, and then I hated everybody else for not eating the way I did or not wanting what I did. I used to watch Friends. There's a chocolate bar over here that has two bars in it, and I would eat. It's called a Twix, and I used to watch people eat maybe one part of it, and I'd be thinking, "Wow, how can people do that? How do normal people do that?" Because I couldn't. And don't get me wrong, I tried all the paying ways. They all worked. They all worked until they didn't. I lost loads of weight. I lost weight on most of the big paying ways. But as I always say to my sponsees now, I didn't really lose weight. I just sent my weight out for reinforcements and I came back with even more. That's all I did, really, But that feeling of uselessness never left me until I did the 12 steps. That's when it left. Again, the next one, next bedevilment, we were full of fear. Promises, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Unbelievable. I was crippled in fear. Fear you didn't like me. It was all self-seeking. Fear you didn't like me. Fear I wasn't good enough. Fear I was too fat to be accepted. I had got up to 380 pounds. That didn't come from a snack accident, kids. That came from me overeating constantly, And to try and shut up the fear, to shut up the resentment, to shut up the anger, And then the next one is we were unhappy. That's the bedevilment, the promises we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I can't tell you, I am happy, joyous, and free now. And nothing, I couldn't have paid for this kind of what I feel now. I couldn't have got it from anywhere, not from the paying ways, not from anything, not until I really, really did the work on myself. Says we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. That's the bedevilment, the promises, no matter how far down the scale we have gone. We will see how your experience can benefit others. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. It says very clearly in the big book, working with others is the foundation stone of our recovery. And for me, this promise has come true because I'm able to work with others. I'm able to share with them. Yeah, I added a bins. Oh, actually, no, I didn't. I used to hear that in the meetings. A lot of people would say, I ate stuff out of bins and I used to think, God, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I think we all sat there at the beginning thinking I'm not that bad. And then it suddenly occurred to me. I never had out of bins because the food never got to the bin. That's why the food never reached the bin because I had hoovered everything up before it got there. Trust me. I ate all the time. And I'm an intelligent woman, but if my emotions go up against my intelligence when I'm in the food, my emotions will win because my disease is a liar and liars always win. And that was what I was locked into. But now I'm able to help people. Thank God I can give service here. Thank God I can, I'm able to talk to people and say, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to break furniture. I know what it's like to people roll their eyes when you sit in the air, you're in the airplane. I remember, getting into the airplane and thinking you could see the dread on people's faces when they had to sit beside me. Same when I was on the tram. I know what it's like to in a restaurant, be seated at the back, when they put you in a booth in a restaurant, that awful feeling of doom that you're not going to fit in the booth. I've been there so many times. So it says there, we couldn't, and most of all, this is the final bedevilment. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And in We Agnostics, it says clearly, when we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Other ideas did not work, but the God idea did. I don't know how this works. I have a strong faith, but I am aware that a lot of people don't. I had a very strong faith when I was eating, by the way. That didn't change. And what happened with God for me was he was a Santa Claus god. I used to pray to him and sort of like, you know, please let me lose weight, but let me eat the way I'm eating, you know. And it was always like, take away this feeling that, thanks, Mark. Take away these feelings. I want to be happy. I want to be happy, you know. And it was all what I used to do was put God in the corner, lock the door, and then go and binge my head off. But that's no longer the case now. So how did I do this, right? It says very clearly, very, very clearly before we did, you look at the promises. It says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. It doesn't really matter why I'm here. I had a really good upbringing. You know, all right, I grew up in the Troubles in Northern Ireland, but it was still a loving family home. Why I got here is irrelevant now because I am a compulsive overeater. That is not going to change. Nothing is going to change that. I will be a compulsive overeater to the day I die. Alcohol was my master, as Bill says, food was my master. You know, and for that reason, I have to do daily work to keep well. And for those promises to come true, I have to work the steps. And I had 5 years of brilliant recovery. I came in 2003 or two, I can't remember now. 2003, sorry. And I got just over 5 years of fantastic recovery, lost 180 pounds, 140 pounds, sorry. And then had a disastrous, that lurking notion it talks about in the big book on page 33. There must be no lurking notion because I got one. And I thought, oh yeah, I can just have one. How many times have we all said, have I said anyway, I can just have one, and it's 101 before I knew it. You know, one biscuit led to a packet, led to me going out to the shops. And I started eating again. I put on all the weight I'd lost. I think I put on about 160, got up to 380 pounds. And then 2 years ago, after a massive spiritual awakening, I came back to OA. I was really, really poorly. I was lying in the hospital and I'd taken a bath. I think some of you, I'm sure, have heard this story. I'd taken a bath to stop the pain. I'd stage four cancer and I had, it was blood cancer. So I had very bad kind of bone marrow pain. And I'd taken a really, really hot bath and I let the water go out before I got out of the bath, which is a rookie mistake when you're big. And I remember thinking, I can't pull the cord. I can't pull the cord because nobody is going to be able to physically lift me. And I heard God say, you need to go back to away. I started to cry and I heard that. I heard him say, you need to go back to away. And I did. And that was over 2 years ago. Got absent and haven't looked back since, thank God. But I had to work like this, like my hair was on fire. I have to work the steps. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. You know, every day I wake up before I hit the ground, my feet hit the ground in the morning. I have to say, some days it's like Gandhi and I'm really in a really good zone and I'm praying and it's wonderful. And other days it's like, God, take this day for me because I am going to make a right mess of it. And then I get on with my day. You know, I talk to fellows, I do outreach. I work the steps, obviously, but I live in 10 and 11 and 12 and 1, 2 and 3. And then, I own my character defects because I have to make sure I work on them all the time as well, because they will creep back in. They creep back in because I'm a human being, you know. That's two things I know about my own God. I'm not him and he's real to me, you know. But it does take work, you know. And for me, it was very much... I really wanted it this time as well, you know, because I had been in relapse for so long and I had seen the beast up close and it was horrible. And that feeling, those bedevilments came back. They all came back and they brought friends, you know, they brought lots and lots of negative friends. And, you know, the promises seemed so far away when I was in the food. They seemed impossible, but they're not. Today I'm living happy, joyous and free. And, you know, like I said, for me, the most important thing in my life is my contact, conscious contact with my higher power. I hear a lot that it's abstinence, but I can't get abstinence without conscious contact with my higher power. I have to have God at the top of my agenda because he has to run the show. Because, you know, it says about us, are we not in our best moments, the producers of confusion and calamity? It says that in the big book. And that's what I'm like. When I'm left as the actor running the show, I make a mess of it. And if I want to be free, if I want that feeling of uselessness and self-pity to disappear, if I want to know the new freedom and new happiness, I've got to give it to God. Because when you give it to God, it's, you know, it's not me that's doing it anymore. And the foot has got to go down, because when I was in the foot, I couldn't hear anything. I could hear, a lot of the time I could hear 70%. And, I did my job. I've got, I've no mortgage. I was able to function really well. But I wasn't living life, the life that God wanted me to live. I wasn't at peace. And now I have peace and serenity. And all the promises, they've come true. And before, they did come true halfway through as well, after I did my four and five. And now what I do is I speak to my sponsor every week, and we go through my resentments and my fears for the week and sex conduct or whatever, whatever's on it. And I find that it's gone. Once I give it to God and give it to my sponsor, it's gone. I don't have to hold on to those feelings anymore. I don't have to flip them over, and they don't turn septic inside of me anymore. And now I realize it's not about getting what I want anymore. It's about wanting what I have. And I have what I want for today. I really do. And, I was thinking this morning, I went for a swim this morning, and I was praying actually while I was swimming. I found that really good chance to connect. And I was thinking, gosh, I hope I can speak, because I never normally speak about specific things. And I thought, oh, I hope I can speak about, about the promises and explain it, because I can't explain my life before, but it was just black. Everything was black. Everything was gray. And now it's a multicolor, and now it's peaceful. But don't get me wrong, I don't want you to sit here and think it's like a Disney movie and there's little birds flying around and everything. I still get peeved off. I still get annoyed. I still get, outraged when something silly happens, but that's okay. I know what to do now. I write a form, I make a call, I go on to the outreach group, but I have to work at this. And the only way that I got out of the food was to put the food down. And I promise you, when you put the food down, the war is over. It really is. But it has to go down, because if it's not down, it's just, it's just all discombobulated. So I got right with God, I got right with myself, and I got right with my fellows. And I continue to do that. But I'm by no means a saint. I'm just another bozo on the bus who has to do this one day at a time. And as long as I continue to keep in fit spiritual condition, as it talks about in the big book, then hopefully I will be okay for today. And that's the most important thing, I think, is just remembering that God is in charge, that it's not me. And I say please in the morning and thank you at night, and in between I try and help my fellow suffering compulsive overeaters. And I always think two things I think of in my review at night before I send my review is, what was it like living with me today? Because see, when I asked that question when I was in the food, it would have been hell on earth. I wouldn't have even had the nerve to ask that question, because I know it would have been hell on earth. And the other thing is, what have I done to help my fellow suffering compulsive overeater? So I hope you got something out of that. And I hope that if you feel that those promises will never come true, I was there. I was there, and I was in the depths of it. And I never thought I'd get out of it. I never thought I would wear nothing but Pavarotti's cast-offs as clothes. I thought, nothing would fit me. I had to get a swimsuit recently because my friend said, your swimsuit's hanging off you. You need to get a new swimsuit. So I said, okay. And I got a new one. I took it out of the packet. I thought, that'll never fit me. That'll never fit me. And it fitted me perfectly, because this is a disease of perception. And just like that size thing, that was the same as the feelings. My feelings were all over the shop. And I would look at people and I'd be like, they're not giving me enough love. It goes back to the disease of more. If there was any love going in the room, I had to have it. If there was any food, I had to have it.
1 minute.
If there was anything, thanks, Mark. If there was anything, I had to have it, because nothing was ever enough for me. And now I just feel really peaceful. And, with bits of annoyance in between. I do want to make that clear. I don't want you to think that I really don't want you to think I'm sat in a cloud stroking a beautiful violin all the time, because that isn't the case. But for today, in this moment, I am at peace, and I am grateful. That's the one thing. I've been through a lot. I came back from the stage. I'm cancer free, by the way. And those kind of things are amazing to me. Yeah, it's amazing. But actually, not eating and not looking for food to be the answer, that's more amazing than anything. You know, I watch myself sometimes get out of the pool, almost like in a third person. This morning, I got out of the pool and I thought, is that really you? Is that really you that just, you know, exercises, get a strong food plan, use the tools as a
Time.
banister to go up. Thanks, Mark. Use the tools as a banister to go up the steps and give a lot of love. And I will leave it there. Thank you.